Our Father and our God, we thank you because we know that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Glory to God. So we love you, Lord, and we thank you. And we give you honor and praise. And as we share the word of God this morning, give inspiration, Lord. That's right. There is a spirit in man, the scripture says. The inspiration of the Almighty, give them that understanding along with the word of God. So let it be here today. And we declare this word, let the hosts of heaven, you know, let them hear it. Principalities and powers, let them also hear it. It is time, the Lord said, let my people go, that they may serve me, saith the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're on this Exodus series. And it is so important. There's a lot of things that Lord wants to deliver us from in this month of July. You know, and there is no better example story in the Bible than this Exodus story. The story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. You know, why it was so important. You know, and we're going to trace it down. We started yesterday on, you know, the encounter that Moses had with God. I didn't spend too much time on what happened to Moses in his early years. That was there in the first couple of chapters of Exodus. I chose actually not to dwell too much on that. I wanted to focus on from the point of his encounter with the burning bush and the voice of the Lord to him. From that point, we're going to go through all the things that happen until they come out of there. And even when it came out, we're going to go through all the way, you know, and see what happened even when they were in the wilderness and so on. Stay with this series and the Lord's going to bless you. So today, part two, and I'm going to start at Exodus chapter 4. Yesterday we covered most of Exodus chapter 3 and also some portions of chapter 4. Today, I want to start at Exodus chapter 4. I skip a little bit of it and I will start at verse 27. Remember yesterday, Moses was trying to get out of this call for him to go back to Egypt. He ran away from there and no matter what the Lord said and showed him, he was still trying to get out of it. I can't speak. I can't do this and that. So the Lord said, your brother Aaron, he's coming to meet you, and he will be your mouthpiece. You'll be God to him. He will be prophet to you, and you know, you can go like that. So finally, he had no more excuses, and he had to do it. Now, we'll pick up this story. So he went and told Jethro, his father-in-law, that, look, you know, I need to go back to my brethren to go check them out, blah, 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 etc. So now he's preparing on that journey to go. So he went, something happened, the circumcision, you know, that happened and so forth. But let me skip that. I'm going to jump right to Exodus 4 and verse 27. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. Now, remember, the Lord already, I want to bring out a point, a punchline or whatever, right from the beginning here. The Lord already told Moses that your brother is coming. But at that time, he hadn't told the brother. You know, and this is the thing about the Lord. See, you know, that's why we should listen to the Lord, be sensitive to the Spirit. Whatever the Lord is telling you to do, you know, do it. Because even it may look silly to you, I've said this before, I don't know if I've actually said it in this room, but I've said it when I teach on, you know, listening to the Lord and listening to the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit might tell you to do something that might even look or sound silly. Okay. But once you understand his voice, at first you may not understand it. You may do whatever, figure it out. But once you figure it out, you know his voice, you better do it. You know, I mean, I'm someone that, you know, believes that, look, I don't need the Lord to tell me every little thing. You know, I mean, if I want to dress up in the morning, but I, you know, I'm going to wait there until the Lord tells me which shirt I'm going to wear and all of that. I just get in there, put on something and move on, you know. But if the Lord does say, put on that white shirt or put on that blue shirt, I am not going to debate it and say, well, what does it matter? It matters, because the moment the Lord tells you that, it's probably because he already told somebody else that you will see him coming today in that, in a blue shirt. Praise the Lord. You know, so I know that, you know. And so when the Lord told Moses, your brother is coming, I didn't told Aaron yet, you know, so your brother will come, you know, and he will go with you and do this thing and so forth. So now here in this chapter, the Lord is now actually going to tell Aaron to go do it, you know. And so the Lord told Aaron, thank God that Aaron didn't make any resistance whatsoever. He was actually more inclined to the things of God. He grew up in the Jewish tradition that Moses did. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house, an Egyptian tradition. You know, so some didn't know too many things, you know, but the Lord is changing that, all of that around. So the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went. You know, now, this story was so abbreviated. This sentence here is so abbreviated. You don't know all the things that Aaron went through. You know, how in the world is he going to find Moses? In the wilderness. I mean, how do you find someone in the wilderness? But he went anyway. And the Lord guided him all the way. You know, he didn't go into all the details there, but the Lord guided him. And he found him in the Mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him. Remember, that journey was not a journey of 30 minutes. Days took him from Egypt to get to that place. But finally, you know, when they met, you know, and it's been a long time too that they had seen each other. 40 years had passed. You know, anyway, they embraced, they kissed, and Moses told him all. And Aaron said, yeah, I know the Lord told you some things, first told me to come and meet you here. And Moses narrated to Aaron all the words of the Lord and all the signs that the Lord had commanded him. So together they took their journey and went back to Egypt to talk to the children of Israel. Now, Aaron knows the mission as well. So now they, both of them have figured out that they got to go there and speak these words to not only the children of Israel, but also to Pharaoh, that God wants them out of there, and so on. So they went and they gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron now became the mouthpiece, speaking for Moses. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the same signs that the Lord gave to Moses. You know, the throwing down the rod and all these things. You know, and look, you know, the people initially, they believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, my goodness, you know, they saw, you know, remember, these people were in their affliction. They started crying unto the Lord, and they heard that the Lord, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, has come down now to deliver them from their affliction. You know, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. And this was a beautiful thing. Now, this was before they became rebellious. You know, the first time they heard the news that God was going to set them free, I mean, there was joy in the camp. Everybody rejoiced in their various camps, their various dwelling places. There was joy. They bowed down their heads. They worshiped, because God had promised something. Now, we spoke about this when we talk about the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. Once Jehoshaphat heard that the Lord had visited his people and that he was going to deliver them from the hands of the three companies, three nations that came up against them, you know, the tribe of Ammon, tribe of Moab, the tribe of Mount Seir, Once the young prophet stood and spoke that thing in the midst of the congregation, once Jehoshaphat heard it, he worshipped. And all he commanded all of Israel to worship. And they followed suit and they worshipped. Now, this is what we must do when you hear good news. The word of liberty being pronounced by the Lord. You need to worship. And that's what I want us to do throughout this month. Every time we come out here to give you an encouragement that, look, the Lord has said he's pulling you out. You're not there yet, but he said it. You bow down your head and you worship. That's what you do. And that's what these people did. Now, this was the first time they heard the news. 400 years, they've been hearing how they got into Egypt. You know, those children of Israel, they love the stories, the genealogies and all this stuff. And they've been hearing it and how they pummeled by, you know, from generation to generation, from mouth to mouth, they've been hearing it. Finally, they heard that God, you know, and some of them remembered Moses, of course, you know, mother, his sister, all these, some of these people are still there. They remembered it. This was the same Moses, perhaps even the man that said to him, you know, who made thee a judge over us? Are you going to kill me today as you killed that Egyptian yesterday? Perhaps even that man was still there. And, you know, he now saw, he said, wow, this was the same Moses. Of course, he looked different now, but, you know, 40 years be removed. But now this was the same Moses which they rejected as their deliverer. I mean, Moses was someone that did not like social injustice. And when he saw the social injustice, you know, these were the things that happened in the earlier chapters that we skipped. And, you know, an Egyptian that was beating up one of the Jewish slaves, beating them so bad, they didn't have water and was beating them so bad. And Moses looked at it and was like, why? I mean, just let him alone, you know. And he said, let him alone. But the man didn't listen. He continued to beat him. So Moses got in between the two of them and had to, you know, ended up, you know, trying to defend the Jewish man. He got in a tussle with the other guy and he smote him with a rock. And the guy died, cracked his head or something. And he looked here and I said, oh my goodness, I killed an Egyptian. That's an absolutely no-no. Yeah, you know, so he had to quickly go and bury the, find a place to bury. And he thought nobody knew it. The next day he came around. This time around, it was two of the children of Israel fighting one another. And one of them actually bullying his brother and doing him evil. And Moses said to them, Moses never liked that kind of stuff. So he said to them, why do you one another wrong? And so forth. Ye are brethren. Don't do this thing. You know, and the one that was the, you know, evil one, the bully, said to him, look, mind your business. Who made you a judge over us? Are you here to kill me like you killed that Egyptian yesterday? The man raised his voice too. And Moses said, oh my goodness, this thing is known. I thought nobody saw me. He said, well, you know, if that word gets to the palace, that he killed an Egyptian, you know, that's the death sentence. You just don't kill. You don't raise your hands to kill an Egyptian. Anyway, he had to run for his life. So that's how he got out of there. So he came back. Perhaps the man that said to you, who made you Lord and judge over us? And he said, wow, my goodness, this man is back. Well, the stone which the builders rejected, becoming the head of the corner. You know, Moses was a type of Christ in several ways. This was one other way that he was a type of Christ. Well, they did reject him as a deliverer, but he would be the deliverer nonetheless. And so God sent him back. So now they're going to go in onto Pharaoh. And everybody is in anticipation of what the Lord is going to do. So in chapter 5, we pick this story up again, verse 1. Of chapter 5. Now, interesting stuff here as we go. So, after Moses had spoken, it took a long time for him to be reconciled to his people, to speak to them, and, you know, and for them to go through all of that, that he's back and so forth. So afterward, after all of that, Moses and Aaron went in and spoke to Pharaoh and said, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh looked at them. And you know, for you to go into the Pharaoh, you have to pass through the courts. You know, you have to pass through the guards and everything like that. You know, people didn't too much recognize Moses because he was a grown man. I mean, he was not that grown. Probably didn't have all the beard and everything, you know, when he ran away. But now he's back. You know, it's like, who in the world is this? And he went and stood, and Moses didn't make any, you know, stuff about introduction or this and that. He knew he was a wanted man, but he had a mission. And he said, "Look, let my people go, saith the Lord." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord? You know, that I should obey his voice and let Israel go. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Get away from here." And then they said to him, "Look, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, therefore, we pray thee. 3 days journey only." Now they started with, you know, first they made the announcement. The man just, you know, flat out threw out their words. And then they appealed to him and said, "Look, our God has met with us. He has told us, you know, we have to do something for him. And all we need is 3 days journey into the wilderness." Now they are trying to use, you know, tact here. You know, "And the sacrifice unto our God, lest he fall upon us with the pestilence or the sword." And the king of Israel said unto them, "Wherefore do ye," by this time now they know that they are Moses and Aaron. You know, of course they know Aaron. And they knew that that was Moses. Finally the word got around, "Moses is back, Moses is back." Everybody coming to see. You know, he was supposed to be heir to the throne. So now he's back. "Let the people," why? He said, "Are you letting the people from their works?" Because by as soon as Moses returned with this incredible word from the Lord that he's going to get you all out of here, get you out of bondage, take you to a land and so forth, the people stopped doing anything. They were rejoicing. You know, in the news they heard, all they did was worship the Lord and so forth. And they said, "Well, you know, it's time. We're going to be free." So they were doing nothing. And so Pharaoh challenged them back and said, "Why do you let these people from their walks? Get you back to your burdens." Now, ladies and gentlemen, throughout these lessons, we're going to be talking about Pharaoh. You know, Pharaoh, you know, there are many Pharaohs in our lives today. You know, and when you hear the word of liberation, such as the one the Lord gave us at the beginning of this month, you know, the Pharaohs will arise. It could be sickness, it could be whatever, you know, to make sure. And you'll find out in a minute why that's the technique that these Pharaohs and the devil today still uses. And so he say that, you know, "Why are you letting the people from their burdens?" You know, because you're telling them these things and everybody thinks these things and they are, you know, they're not doing their work. And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them to rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh himself acknowledges that these are burdens. These things are burdensome because they are slaves. Slaves do burdens. You know, the Egyptians put the slaves to work. They do whatever it is that the Egyptians did not want to do for themselves. They make the slaves do it, you know. And do it for them, and they ride on top of the backs, walk on over the backs of the Israel, the people of Israel, ride over their backs, they afflict them. You know, they do all kinds of things, beat them up, bully them, even sometimes rape their wives. There's nothing they could do about it. They were just slaves. And, you know, so look. Pharaoh now said, "Look, all these things coming out here and saying you're going to somewhere, And these people are slaves. They have a portion of work they must do. They are burdened, and you're letting them think they will be free. So Moses commanded, so Pharaoh commanded the same day and said to the taskmasters of the people, those that were in charge of all the slaves and the work they had to do, their daily burdens that they had to bear. He said unto them, ye shall no more give these people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves and the tail of bricks, which they did make heretofore, in other words, before now, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof. You know, look, you used to provide certain things for them and so forth. You know, they used to mix straw with sand and some other things to make bricks. You know, say, well, don't give anything to them. Let them go find for themselves. Because now, you know, they are idle. And even though you don't give them any materials, you must not, you know, diminish or lessen the tail that they must bring. In other words, they had levy. You know, you got to bring 100 bricks a day or whatever it is. You can't lessen anything. They must still do it, whether or not you give them anything. And so he said to them, ye shall lay these things upon them, make them do what they were doing before, but this time around, don't give them any help, you know, because, you know, these people are coming here and telling them that they are going to be free. And they be idle. They are idle. That's why they are thinking, you know, let us go and sacrifice our God. Let there be more work laid in upon the men. You know, for, you know, they are saying they are idle. Let them have more work to do that they may labor therein. And let them not regard vain words such as we're going to worship. We're going to serve our God. Now, see this pattern. The pattern is this. They are need, you know, very identify that, look, idle time on the hands of these Jews is what's making them even think that they are going to serve the Lord. Give them more work. Let them have no time to think. Let them have no time to strategize of how they are going to go serve the Lord. Because make it more difficult for them. Because if they don't meet their, you know, the schedule, or, you know, that they are supposed to do every day, they won't get their allocation of meals. These meals were allocated for them only if they finish their work. They didn't have opportunity to get any food on their own. They were banned from many things. But if you finish your work that was allocated you, some food was dished out, some whatever, you got the right to go get something. And so, you know, and they would have food after they did their work. They would have this and that. And he said, look, make it more difficult for them. And they won't have time to sit around and be thinking, we're going to go worship the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this pattern is still there till today. You know, and that's where you find that people say, well, I can't come to church. You know, I got to work. You know, so listen, ladies and gentlemen, it is the case. You don't think in your mind that Pharaoh still doesn't know, the Assyrian is what the Lord calls him, still doesn't know that you need to worship the Lord. You need to have time, free time on your hands. He knows that. So he's going to make sure, pile more work upon you, give you more bills to pay, make things more difficult for you. You got to work more hours. You got to take more shifts. Got to do two jobs, three jobs, whatever it is. Pile more on you. Put more on you so you don't have time. And that's the intent. Put more on them so that they don't have time. And this tactic is still there till today. And I started talking about this a couple of years ago, about a year or so ago when we first started. Let there be more burden on this platform. I started talking about it. Be laden upon them so that they would not regard idle words such as we have to go serve the Lord. So today the Lord has said that you shall be set free of the burdens. You know, I gave you the scripture yesterday that we read and we used it to pray. And let me remind you what it was that we read. How the Lord said, I will break the Assyrian. Ha! Le krondo sharabosai. I will break the Assyrian. You know? So let's read it again. According to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24. Now, Assyria was different from Egypt. But, you know, it's a different kingdom and so forth. But the same spirit. So I'm using it spiritually speaking. Whether Pharaoh, whether the Assyrian, whether whoever was tormenting them, you know, and so forth. And the Lord said, you know, Isaiah 14, verses 24 to 27. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I've proposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian, the Pharaohs, the demonic, and the spirits, the powers of wickedness, spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness of this world, whomsoever they are, you know, that are tormenting my people and upon my mountains, I will tread him down underfoot so that his yoke may depart from off of them, that's off of God's people, and his burden shall be broken from off of their shoulders, that's your shoulders. And this is what God wants to do. This is the purpose that is proposed upon the whole earth. Now, at the time that the Lord is declaring this, you know, the yoke is still on them. The burden is still on them, you know, but the Lord said, I'm going to deliver you of these things, you know, so you may still have the yoke. You may still have the burden. However, the Lord is saying that he will deliver you from these things. This is the hand of the Lord that is stretched forth upon all the people. The Lord of hosts have proposed, he said, and who is strong enough to disannul it? This is the hand of the Lord that stretched out. Who can turn it back? So this is what the Lord wants to do for his children. And you know, in the book of Psalms, the psalmist also recognized some of these, you know, struggles that we have. By the Spirit of God, he wrote some of these things. We have these struggles till today. You know, we have these struggles. And ladies and gentlemen, these struggles are recognized throughout the Bible. And it is not for us to make light of them. Psalm 127 says, you know, it is vain for you, Psalm 127 verse 2, to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. In other words, look. Have to do so many things in order for you to make ends meet, and sometimes you still can't make ends meet. It's like the bread of sorrows. Some people even say their paycheck is like from hand to mouth. Well, sometimes it's not. The hand doesn't even reach the mouth when you don't have enough, because this one takes from it, your rent takes from it, that one takes from it, that one takes from it, and by the time you know, all of that is done, you don't have enough. So you got to overstretch yourself. You got to find. And when you are doing all those things, you will not have time. You know, when you can't put food on the table for your little ones. You can't pay your bills and so forth. You're not going to have time. If they tell you to come to work on Sunday, you're going to do it because that's the time that's the shift they have for you. So you got to do it to make some money. This is what we do, and we recognize that. However, the Lord says he will give you rest. That's right. This month will begin a journey that will take you into a place of rest. You know, to get you away from all of that stuff. You know, and even those of you who are doing well, you will do even better. You'll be able to do better for yourselves. You don't have to. It's not like, look, work more and more and more and more so you can make more. No, it's work less, not because you are lazy, but because of the rest of the Lord. Work less and make more. You know, a little in God's hands can become a lot. You give Jesus 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You give Jesus, you know, a couple of things and so forth. You put it in his hands. He can take it and multiply it and bless it beyond your means. Now, the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, they were one small boy's lunch or meal throughout the day that the mother packed for him. Mom, I want to go. There's this crowd again. I think it's Jesus, you know. So mother said, be careful now. Don't stay out too late. I want to go. Okay, here, wait. And she packs him something to eat, you know, and so on and so forth. And you know how these mothers are. She's going to put actually there more than the boy needs to eat. I mean, the boy doesn't need 5 loaves. But, you know, they're little loaves, actually, by the way. They're like handful, small loaves. But she puts in there because, you know, this boy may be gone all day long. So you have something to eat. And the boy is so excited. Maybe he ate a little, maybe he ate nothing. But at the time they're looking for what to eat, he still had it. And that's all it was, you know, something enough for one boy to eat. But in the hands of the master, when he puts a blessing on it, you know, and I preached this lesson some time ago, you might want to check it out, called In Season and Out of Season. Your in-season blessings are what you are able to accomplish on your own. Because you plant, you reap. You put in 8 hours a day. After 2 weeks, you get a paycheck. That's just the way it is. You don't need to be a believer for that to happen. God might help you to find a job. But the system is already in place. You do this, you get paid. You do that, you get paid. You do this, that's just in-season blessing. And even unbelievers plant and the seed will grow. Because God has put the seed and they put the life inside the seed to bring forth after its own kind. And then, you know, put a blessing like that. So, you know, that's in-season blessing. But out-of-season blessing is when you do not have enough. You can't find ways of how you are going to make it happen. Yet the Lord gives you not only enough, but more than enough. And he's like, and then you later on, you look back and say, how in the world did that happen? Well, that's out of season. That's faith. If you have faith, that's God going beyond your means. I also preached a lesson on faith beyond your means. And those lessons are about the same thing. That it's not just, look, do more. You know, when I say much younger man, going around doing consulting and so forth, I used to think when I started, you know, that the way to get more money was to put in more hours, because that's how it was. You know, I was hourly paid. So if you're hourly paid, you do, instead of doing 40 hours, you do 60 hours. You get 50% more. But then you have time for nothing else. You know, later on, I figured out how to do less and get paid more. Praise the Lord. You know, so, and that's where I am today. Hallelujah. Do less, but get paid a whole lot more. Hallelujah. Because that's, once you figure that out, and it's a little, you know, can become a lot in God's hands. But Pharaoh's plan is to make you not see that. Make sure that there's a lot happening to you that will prevent you from having the rest, having the space to do things. Remember, it is during the time of rest that people actually have time to think and do things. You know, Asa, we read these stories, David, Solomon, all of them, when they were at rest was when they, even David, when God had given him rest on all sides, that's when he now began to think, wow, the Lord had given me rest. I need to build God a house. He couldn't do it when he was running for his life. He couldn't think about that. Every day he was running for his life, he couldn't think about building God a house. There's no such thing. But you're running for your life, you know, and you're just trying to even survive. And while all the times he was in battle, you know, going to battle, you know, alongside the Philistines, doing all this crazy stuff and so on, you know, there was no time for him to think about all that. But finally, after God gave him rest from every side, now he said, wow, look at me. The Lord has given me, I took me from the sheep court. Now I'm ruler over his people and I've given me rest over all my enemies and all my fears and so forth. Now I got to do something for the Lord. You see, So when you have, although the Lord said, well, that's great, but your son will do it. Now, when you have time and God gives you rest, that's when you can think of what else to do for the Lord. You can't do it when you don't have time, you know. And Solomon, the same thing. Solomon didn't have any wars like his father. His father did all the fighting and the warring and so forth. But he got rest. So he was able to build. Not only did he build the house of the Lord, you know, 7 years, he built his own palace, 13 years or whatever. I mean, he had 20 years of space to build, you know. And people say, oh, there's nothing like, you know, what Solomon ever be? Well, because God gave him rest. That's why he could do it. You know, don't you ever forget it. He couldn't do it if he was fighting wars all the time. And same thing with Asa. He come in there, 15 years all around. There's nothing going on. Peaceful and everything. You know, all their enemies are at peace with them. Their allies are at even more peace with them. You know, and so he said, look, this is the time. But the man was smart. He said, this is the time for us to fortify. Hallelujah. This is the time for us to build. Build us stronger cities now that we are, you know, have time of peace. But we can't do it in a time of war. You know, build us stronger cities, fortify, you know, strengthen, lengthen our courts, establish things that we couldn't do when we were in trouble. We don't have trouble now. So let's do these things. See, that's how you do it. But the enemy, the devil knows that. Just like we know these things, the devil knows them too. There's nothing you know in the scriptures that the devil doesn't know. So he's going and he knows it even better. Because he's been around for a long time, you know. So he's going to make sure you don't have rest so that you can't do these things. But this is what we are going to study throughout this conflict in the story of the Exodus. The Lord already told Moses, I'm going to bring them out. I send you there, you're going to bring them out. However, Pharaoh will not let them go. You know, that's what the Lord told him. You know, so God already set the stage. You know, I'm going to send you into a mission that is impossible. It's a mission impossible. You know, you're going to tell Pharaoh to let them go, but I guarantee you, Pharaoh is not going to let them go. God told him, of a certainty, he will not let you go. Then why are you sending me there? Because, you know. But the Lord told Moses that, look, I will do something to make my name a renown. That's right. I will even harden his heart. And I will do these things. And he will not let you go. Except by a high hand. Hallelujah. You know, so that devil is not going to let this word of the Lord that he gave to us in this July come upon you and overtake you. He's not going to do it. I guarantee you, he will not do it. But God's going to make him do it. Praise the Lord. God's going to take it from him. That's what God did. He took the children of Israel from the hands of Pharaoh, even though Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. So that's our lesson throughout this series. Now, and as we go through this lesson by lesson, I want you to pay attention. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I want peace for you throughout this time in Jesus' mighty name. God will give us peace. God will give us rest. This is what he promised, but the devil doesn't want you to have it. Praise God. So we're going to pray. And I just looked over into the chat room and I see a prayer request there. So we're going to also pray over that right now. But let me close this lesson out here and say, this is only part two of our series. There's more to come as we go through this great conflict and this great challenge. There's never been any such story like it in the Bible. All the things that happened and the great conflict and the great challenge up to the point of how God will finally get them out of there. So a lot of things that happen. We're going to go through that. But the hand of the Lord and the word of the Lord would eventually prevail. And so I'm going to pray over the room and I'm going to take the prayer point. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come against the failures. And even the prayer point that we see in the room, it's also similar to that. But I'm coming to that specifically in a moment. The devil doesn't want you to be at rest. So bring evil news, evil tidings, all kinds of things will happen so that you cannot be at rest. You know, just when you say, ah, the Lord is good, I'm really, you know, the Lord is really good, I'm really doing great and so forth, you know, and you begin to enjoy the Lord. Oh no, that's when the devil is going to come in. Remember, according to the words of Psalm 112, hallelujah, the Lord said that, you know, the righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. You know, many years ago when I was a young man, the Lord gave me this scripture. Many, many years ago. And every time I heard evil tidings, either family or close friend or brethren or whatever, family especially, I would always go back to the scripture and I would just quote it to myself. And I've been using it forever since then. That look, I will not be afraid. Psalm 112 verse 7. Of evil tidings. My heart is fixed. I'm trusting in the Lord. So evil tidings, you know, evil tidings are not going to make me afraid. Evil tidings will come. It's not that they won't come, but I will not be afraid. And what time I am afraid, I will go to the Lord. Hallelujah. And I will encourage myself in the Lord and say, look, I will not be afraid. Father, give peace and grant peace and rest to your people. My presence shall go with you and I will give you rest, saith the Lord. And Moses said, if thou wilt indeed not even go with us, then carry us not thence. But if you will, then we shall prosper in this thing. The Lord said, I will go and prosper. Now, I say unto everyone that's in this room, the presence of the Lord is with you every day. And the Lord, the word which he has spoken, hallelujah, he will watch over it to perform it. Did not our God say that I am the Lord that watches over my word to perform it? That's right. He will also even frustrate the talking of the liars that say, look, you will not have rest. Every time that you think you are doing well, another bad news will come. This is the way that the devil does it. This is what he does, you know. So we must not be moved by these things. Now, thus saith the Lord, hallelujah, thy Redeemer, even he that formed thee from the womb. Isaiah 44 and verse 24. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, and spread it abroad the earth by myself. Remember, I didn't need help then, and I don't need help now. I can do these things by myself. That's why he's saying it to people here, reminding you that I am the Lord that did these things. These things that nobody can do, science, anything. They can't do it. I did it by myself, you know, and I will do this also for you. I will frustrate the tokens of the liars that say you will not have rest. I'm going to come against your family. I'm going to come against your nieces, your nephews, your uncles, your mother, your this and that. If I'll come against even you. And I'll come against others as well. You will not have rest. Well, the Lord said, I will frustrate the tokens of the liars. I will make diviners mad. And I will turn wise men backward and make their knowledge foolish. But I also said, the Lord also said, I am the one that confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers. Glory to God. And saying to his people, thou shalt surely be built up. Hallelujah. And I will raise up the ruins thereof. Glory to God. Now, I speak the word in the name of the Lord. Let the Lord watch over it and let him perform it even as he said. that the spirit of rest, glory to God, shall be upon you in Jesus' name. The anointing for rest, there's an anointing too, you know, the anointing to enter into rest. Jesus said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. The anointing to receive that rest. Everything we receive from God is by the anointing of God. God grants it to us. May the Lord grant you the anointing to enter into this rest. And he that is entered into their rest, if you enter into your rest, you are seized from your labors, all the heavy burdens that the devil put upon you, and you will continue to be at rest in Jesus' name. Now, the forces that are coming against you to make sure that you don't be at rest, we come against those forces in Jesus' name, that you will indeed be at rest. This will be the month of rest for you, regardless of the devil's plans. And remember, the devil, he will by no means, you know, give up your rest that he has captured easily. When a strong man keeps his goods, he thinks he's secure. But a stronger than he shall come upon him. That's right. We come upon the enemy that is trying to steal our peace and our rest. In the name of Jesus, come upon him. And we take away the strength where he thought he trusted. We break his bands. We put spiritual handcuffs over him. And we say, let my people go, saith the Lord, that they may serve me. Take away these burdens from their backs. And the Lord said, I've broken the Assyrian so that it will not be burdensome unto you again. And a burden shall no longer be over you. And you shall no longer be his bondman. Neither shall you be afraid of his ways. But lean upon me quickly, saith the Lord. For I am your stay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Now, the Lord bless everyone that's listening to this in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Lord. Thank you, our God, because your word will not fall to the ground. It will perish. It will prosper and destroy, cause to perish. And say, look, destroy, do this and so forth, and cause to perish everyone. And that's what they say in the days of Esther and so on. Destroy the devil, cause to perish all of his ways that they have put against you, so that you, at the end, you will have the peace that God promised. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.